Oh, hell yeah. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, give us a call, 617-779-7937. We have neglected you, the caller, today because we have just been so – I mean, it's been a sports extravaganza.
I've been loving it.
Just a sports rodeo.
No pivots needed.
We've been riding the sports bronco all day. And you can also go to the Odyssey app, and poor Jackson, because he unloads the take grenades that we usually play later on the show. I haven't plugged it once. So we really need to make up for lost take grenades. Go over to the Odyssey app. It's a great app, by the way. You should really follow the show there. Just go to the WEEI, press follow, and boom, one-stop shopping for the greatest show in the history of radio. It will just launch right to your phone, and then, of course, you can leave a message if you press that little microphone button and leave us a take grenade. We play those a little bit later on. I'm about to do something really quick that they teach you in radio school never to do, and that is just to mention something and then go right into something else. We are going to play the Drake May audio he just spoke, but I just saw this, and I have to mention it. There is a movie that is coming out about... you know, Robert Pattinson, Batman, great actor. He was in...
those vampire movies.
Yeah, Twilight and whatever. He's a great actor. He is... apparently, they're making a movie about the life of Chris Hansen, the host of To Catch a Predator, and about how all of that went down. Do you remember the show To Catch a Predator? Oh, Ted, this show was the wildest show back in like 2007, 2008. It was enormous. It was... Chris Hansen was a guy that used to be like a legitimate journalist. Like he worked for, it wasn't 60 Minutes, but it was a show that was like that, NBC Nightly News. And he teamed up with these people who set up these stings where they would have people go into chat rooms and pose as underage kids and lure people to houses. And Chris Hansen would be sitting there with like hidden cameras and all of the people that got lured in would show up and on like television, they'd be like, you know, you're here to see a child, aren't you? And they're like, oh my God. And they're like, you're under arrest. And the cops would come out and arrest him. Wow. However, every time I watched it, I'd be like, this kind of feels like entrapment. And I don't really know who these people are who are setting up the stings. And it ends up, they were using these really shady ways to get people there. I guess the people who had set it all up were like, I guess they said that they were underage, but they were in chat rooms that you had to be over 18 to go into. So like legitimate people thinking they were meeting for hookups weren't clicking the 14 things you had to click to find out that they were like underage because everything else said that they weren't. And so they were arresting fairly and embarrassing on TV fairly innocent people till one of the stings where they embarrassed this one guy ended up killing himself. Jeez. Like on the show. He was like in this farm and they went over to his house. There was a gunshot and like everything went bad. And Chris Hansen just disappeared.
That guy was a sheriff too, Rich.
Yeah, it was a sheriff who they had said. And we went to his house because he had been responding to our underage decoy. Mm. And it ends up they go to the house and like on TV, you hear like a gunshot. And so they're making a movie starring Robert Pattinson as Chris Hansen called Primetime. And I just watched the trailer. Dude, that story is insane. Good for, I mean, that's one I want to see. So I just
saw know this. What's happened to him? Like, where's Chris Hansen now?
So Chris Hansen's still out there, but he's not doing a lot because I think that there's like crazy lawsuits and stuff from a lot of the families. But I remember one time I was talking to.
He's got a YouTube channel.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
Who doesn't?
So there was a guy from the Dropkick Murphys that we were talking to one time. And he said one of the weirdest things that they ever had was that one of the dudes on To Catch a Predator who went over the house was wearing a Dropkick Murphys t-shirt. Oh, no, and he said it's like the worst advertising that we've ever had for our band. This guy that could have been like a pedophile was wearing their shirt because I don't think anybody wants to see that. And once again, this is what they say in radio never to do, but I just saw it. It was fresh on my mind. And that movie looks like it's going to absolutely rule. All right, let's get to Drake May. So Drake May spoke just a couple of minutes ago, I think maybe an hour ago. And this is on the heels of Mike Vrabel, and we're going to have Tommy Curran on with us to kind of read through the tea leaves and see exactly what he thought of what Vrabel said. But, you know, Drake May is going to have an interesting offseason here, especially if next week, is it Monday? Is that the first? Is Monday June 1st? I believe it is.
Yes. Yep.
That's D-Day for A.J. Brown.
Correct. Yep.
Everyone's saying that's the day that the deal that is essentially already written and all put out has been consummated. And
if it's not Monday, then you start to worry as a Pats fan that Eagles are trying to extract more out of somebody and get other teams in the mix.
I'm starting to think that they're the only team.
I think so, too.
They're bidding against themselves.
Schefter's not this confident about things unless they're done. However.
So true.
If by Monday night he's not a Patriot, something's off.
Yeah, yep. Something is off. So Drake May was asked... I guess vaguely about AJ Brown. I have not heard this yet. Stiz just told me that it was addressed in his press conference. Stiz, can we hear that clip?
How aware are you of the AJ Brown rumors? You know, how much do you know about him? And you know, how fun would it be to throw to a guy like that?
Yeah, I think it's part of the NFL. You know, they throw names around there, around every team, depending on whoever looks best in the graphic and the jersey on social media. So, you know, I'm really just focused. We got some new guys in here that I'm working with, and I know there's some, you know, a lot of talk with that. But, you know, if he ends up being on our team, great. You know, what a great player. And if he doesn't, we still got to work these guys here. So it's a tough balance, but I know he's a phenomenal player.
This is going to
sound answer. Like, good answer, Drake.
Sure, a decent answer. This is going to sound like a really basic question, but Ted, how big is it for somebody like Drake May in their third year to have a weapon as dangerous as AJ Brown at his disposal?
It's huge. It's a game changer because I think his best pass is the nine route, is the deep route up the sideline, and I think that's what AJ Brown's very good at too, right? I mean, Kayshon Booty was excellent at that. What it does is opens up everything short to intermediate. Patrick Mahomes, the last couple of years, has not had a deep threat. Mm-hmm. And you look at their numbers, they can't push the ball down the field. They can't strike fast anymore. They used to be a fast striking offense, but with the Cheetah not on that team anymore, they don't have a deep threat. And so it limits what you can do. To have a deep threat and a guy that you can go to in one-on-one situations, it's a game changer. So it would be, I mean, a huge, huge, huge weaponization of the offense if you could get AJ Brown next week.
As a linebacker, when you played, how much tougher was it to defend against quarterbacks when you knew you had a deep threat like that?
It was so much harder because they're less predictable.
Yeah,
it really is. They can do a lot of it. So if you want to play, all right, you want to cover your ass on the back end, we're going to drop two safeties and then they start running the ball, right? Oh, okay. Now we're gonna bring an eighth guy down to stop the run. Okay, now they start to go to work on the deep ball. I mean, the Denver Broncos were excellent with doing that, and so it's very difficult when you have a deep threat on as part of the offense. It's hard to stop everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you say that. Wiggy this morning was saying the guy he has the most hope for the jump from this last year to this year is Travion Henderson, and maybe AJ Brown impacts him. If what you're saying is true, it opens up the running game in a weird way.
So I want players like Travion Henderson, AJ Brown, the tight end from Notre Dame. Like, I don't want to get too excited. He's a third rounder, Reardon. Like, he has some athletic explosiveness to him. We need explosive players on this offense because Drake is an explosive player. He plays the position. If he's a weapon at quarterback, so you want to surround him with as many weapons as you can.
And also, I got to think when you are, you know, playing your position and you're seeing a guy and you know that you've got this burner behind you, it's got to make things so much more complicated as far as where your head's at, what kind of plays you can run, and the simplicity is just out the window. Like you can no longer. It completely makes everything more complex. Correct?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Way more. And one thing I want to also add, that if you don't bring in an A.J. Brown, you kind of, for I think the most important position group, maybe defensive backs, but probably wide receivers, is you need to have an adult in the room.
Yeah.
Who's an accomplished player, who sets a tone from a physical standpoint. The receivers feed off of the number one, like the number one pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
If he's a tough SOB, you'd like to think the rest of your staff is going to be the same way. Same thing in football. That's what you saw with Steph Diggs last year. His toughness permeated throughout the whole receiver group, and you saw how they reacted to it. You need A.J. Brown to be the flag carrier in that group to set the tone, because you got a lot of young guys in that core group right there.
Ken, what is the latest we're hearing about what they're going to be giving up for him? Because it keeps changing.
First round was what? In 2028 was what Schefter had said. He wouldn't be surprised if it was a first-round pick, not next year's draft, but in 2 years.
Does anybody have a problem with that?
That sounds high to me.
It's high if you're the only one bidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're the only team that's bidding for him, then that seems high. I think you could probably – I think you could get away with, like, a third-rounder. But if you're the only team bidding, I think you have more leverage. A.J. Brown doesn't want to be there. A.J. Brown wants to play for the Patriots. He doesn't want to be for the Eagles. The Eagles have gone out and they drafted a guy in the first round. They brought in two guys in free agency. A.J. Brown essentially is not going to be on that team. So they don't have leverage, the Eagles. So if you don't have to give him a first rounder, why give him a first rounder?
Yeah.
It just seems to me like maybe – you know what it feels like? It feels like they said to him, there's already a deal, just like, dude, we'll give you a first rounder. Just let's make – agree right now.
Right.
Like this is something I don't want anyone moving in. I don't want any surprises. It's worth me giving it to you so I don't have to worry about that.
There is – and that's kind of like if you play early – you have you say, all right, I'll give you a first rounder, and then that you don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if you're kind of, I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I think that's what they did. I think they said, you know what? So we don't have you bidding with other teams. We can just make a decision. You're going to get our first rounder, and then that just kind of closes it, and there you don't have to worry about it.
But the thing is, though, is if you're the Eagles, and there does happen to be another team that want it, I mean,
too late. They had their shot.
Yeah. Well, no, I still think, and I know that there's this whole, well, you have to honor this thing. There's honor my. If the Eagles GM isn't doing his job and taking the best deal that he can get, I'd mother F the Patriots too. I'm like, you give me more, sure, why not?
If he starts, going behind their back and negotiating maybe a better deal, then that's going to get out, and a lot of people won't want to deal with Howie Roseman anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
you think it's that bad, even if it's a better deal?
Scarlet letter on Howie.
But if it's a better deal, I mean, because the thing
the word is
oh, if you yeah, possible. If you made an agreement, mm-hmm. yeah.
By the way, you know, football's back because Doug Kide is charting the passes today.
Hell yeah, Doug
Kide. Drake May 13 of 22 with a pick. Tommy DeVito 7 of 12. So they're out there charting every play.
I keep forgetting Tommy DeVito's out there. Yeah. Is his agent with the hat still there?
He probably.
He's close by.
He's Italian. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, yeah. I think
so is Weissert, the reliever, and he stinks.
Is DeVito the backup right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Number two.
Well, and they drafted, about that? They drafted the guy in the 7th round.
Yeah. 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 You know what? They obviously liked what they saw in the kid.
DeVito doesn't seem bad. Like, I mean, he started a couple of games for the Giants, right? Yeah. I mean, and he was fine,
all right.
I believe.
Yeah, he's
all
right.
In those commercials that talk about the backups, where he's like the face of a backup, right? What's that commercial?
What commercial are you talking about? I don't know.
What's the commercial with the backup?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a progressive.
Teddy Bridgewater's in one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I need something. Let's call in a backup.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito. He gets in the picture.
Yeah, nice. You had Drake doesn't need a veteran kind of holding his hand anymore.
No.
He's so, you know, and Tommy's not going to be a threat. To him, so he's probably the perfect kind of backup right now.
He might be better than the Jets and Dolphins starters, to be honest. I mean, could he compete with Geno Smith for the starting job?
That could be the case.
Geno looked good week one last year, though. Didn't he?
I mean, dude, he's got his flashes, man. There's times where Geno looks like a world beater. Like, this guy is good.
Real quick on the text line, 774 texter, back to the Vrabel stuff. I agree with what Ted was saying earlier. Mike was tense. That was the word that I would use today.
Yeah, I think that he's going to continue to be tense and lack that confidence and the swagger that he had until they start winning, not playing games, but winning. Because if he doesn't win, the questions will still arise. Did that whole Rossini thing affect the offseason? Did it affect the way that he plays? Does it affect his swagger? Until they start winning, that's going to be the way that it is, unfortunately. All right, 617-779. You know what? Actually, we'll take... Well, we have to break. Because Tommy Curran's on next.
Tommy
Curran's going to talk to us about all the Mike Vrabel, A.J. Brown, Christian Gonzalez, and everything else. We'll talk to him next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Certainly, Ben Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And today was the day we finally got to hear one Mike Vrabel step out on the in front of the podium and answer fairly vague questions about what's been going on in the offseason with Diana Rossini. There were a couple good ones about whether or not he would miss any time. As a matter of fact, before we get to Tommy Curran, can you just play that one clip, Stiz, if you happen to have it? Because I thought that was one of the better ones, where he was asked whether or not there was going to be anything that prevented him from being with the team this offseason. Do you happen to have that clip, Stiz, by any chance?
It'll take me a couple seconds to pull it up.
Okay, Rich. All right. Because he did answer. The one thing that we were saying about Mike Vrabel is that he would answer the question for about 20 seconds and then just start, like, just saying words. Like, words about players and the way that they would practice and blah, blah, blah. And he would just, it would word salad.
It was like when your GPS has a detour that just pops up. Will you accept this? And you hit it and it goes, you go all the way around.
Right. He would just kind of talk for 2 minutes to the point where you kind of forgot what the question was. And that's, I guess, it was either a great technique or it was just he was nervous. I couldn't figure out which one it was, but at least we decided to pull the parachute after the first 30 seconds. Do you have the clip, Stiz?
The one where they ask him if he's anticipates missing any more time, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Let's take a listen to his answer.
I mean, I can only tell you I'm going to be there today, Ben. I can't tell you anything other than I'm going to be out there today in full force. And I mean that because, you know, who knows what's going to come up? I'm not even, you know, anything could happen. And so I'm going to focus on today. But in the excitement that we've had and that we've built so far, and the conditioning that we've tried to incorporate into our practices and the weightlifting and all the things that are critical.
Okay, all right. And then at that point, he just continued to go on and start
carpe diem.
Right, just all sorts of weird practice talk. But on the phone with us right now, our good friend, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran. Tom E., what did you think about Mr. Vrabel and his appearance today?
I wasn't the least bit surprised by what you referenced. I don't know how great the tactic was because it was fairly transparent to me. I fully expected that Mike would be, I think he was concerned. Let's see, how do I make this not a disaster? How about I don't bristle at the questions? Mm-hmm. I'll take them. I will take them on the chin, but I will then redirect to let everybody know that I'm talking about football.
Right.
So
right.
That would be my best strategy here. Acknowledge it. Do not go in depth on it and move to something else. And, you know, for me, it felt Mike is a very, 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 very smart person, a great communicator. But I think that he is very attuned to how people receive him and the message he wants to send. So I think that to me, it's a bit artificial. What he did was very transparent. Why he did it was very transparent. But then on the other hand, by the time I ended my show email, the bottom line is I don't expect him to stand up there and open up a vein. Yeah. He's the head coach of a football team. He's not supposed to be a human in this instance. And if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm looking at that press conference, and if he's up there stammering and stuttering and apologizing and acting like a scalded dog, that's not really the message he needs to send for whatever you're paying him, $10 million a year to coach your football team. He could do that on his own time. But right now, he has to be the person that he chose to be today. If it's fully authentic or not and reflective of what he's going through, I seriously doubt it. But his job is not to open a vein and give us chapter and verse on how things are going at his house.
Ted had a very good observation. And Ted, I want you to say, because I don't want to steal your words, about his mannerisms and what you thought about like how he handled himself, Ted.
Oh, I'm just curious the overall kind of tone and tenor and the delivery, Tom, what you thought. I thought, mm-hmm. His light shines bright. He's very gregarious, obviously. And I just thought it was a little bit more toned down, a little bit more muted than it was in the past, maybe a little bit nervous. Did you sense the same thing, or what was your read on just his overall kind of presentation and delivery today?
I did not sense that he was nervous. I did notice, look, if you played back some of the interview and podium sessions from last year with the media, he was pretty abrupt. He would do it with a smile, but he'd cut us off. He'd interrupt us. He'd get impatient. He'd start shifting around during the questions because he didn't want to hear it. He was a little more patient, I thought, with the questions. Even when he was going back and forth with Giardi a little bit, that was totally joking. He would get impatient with questions, and he didn't do that today, and I thought that was interesting. I didn't think he was nervous. I thought he was the same guy, except a little bit more patient and engaged with questions, and made a better effort instead of being, you know, expectedly arrogant. I mean, we know he's kind of arrogant. That's okay. He's a good guy, but he can be arrogant. He wasn't arrogant.
Tom, do you think it's hard to predict the future, but do you think the change in Vrabel, however subtle, will impact the team on the field this year? Do you think it's something to watch if last year was such the year of Mike Vrabel and extracting every bit of talent out of the team he had, could that be not as impactful this year?
No, I don't think it'll impact the team at all. And honestly, I think whatever Mike Vrabel becomes truly after as a result of this will be a better version of Mike Vrabel. So I think it's only going to, in the end, it's going to end up being like, you hit rock bottom in whatever way, and everybody's got different bottoms. You're going to change a little bit. And generally speaking, you're going to change for the better. So he's probably going to be a better, more relatable, more I just think he'll be a better employee. I really do. I don't know if that's going to translate into wins and losses or anything like that, but I think he'll be a better coach.
Yeah, and you can already hear some of the players rallying around him. And, you know, because, I mean, as I said, I mean, these a lot of these guys have gone through something similar, not as public. But, you know, when it comes to...
They've been humbled.
Right, they've been humbled as well. So, I mean, it does make him seem a little more real, I think, to those guys. And I agree with you. I also believe that if they start winning, you know what the players are going to be. It's going to be like, hey, we're doing this for you. We know what kind of offseason you had. I do believe it's going to be like a rallying cry. Mm. I really do. I think this is a polarizing thing that can turn everybody
like
against
Spygate,
the team.
Like what happened with Spygate?
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
I think it is a situation that will not be named, referenced, or it's the crazy uncle in the cellar. You are not going to bust that stuff. And I don't see one player saying, "Well, I agree. Mike got done wrong." Just Vrabel would say, "Shut up." There's a lot of people who don't think I got done wrong. And I know them very well, so don't.
Hey, TC, what are you your thoughts on Christian Gonzalez not being there? Does that surprise you? And how do you think that ultimately plays out with Christian Gonzalez in his contract?
I think there's no, and I'm sure you would agree, everybody would agree, there's no effing way that Christian Gonzalez is going to play for $4 million this year. And there's no way he's going to play for $21 million next year, which is the fifth-year option that they've already decided to pick up. So next year is 21. This year is like 4. It's not happening. So this is the dance. He has been at OTAs. He was not at this one. Is this a message? I don't know. The biggest message he can send is to not be at minicamp. And if he is at minicamp, does he participate? Does he participate with just some of the walkthroughs and drills, or does he actually take reps? This is how it's gonna be. I'm not surprised. It's absolutely noteworthy, but there's no way that he's gonna play for that contract, right? I mean,
I agree. I don't think no chance.
We talk about it. We've talked about it for a while, but until the two sides get pressure by the deadline of the regular season, perhaps he's not gonna play for that money.
We've talked about how rare it is for the Patriots to be in this situation where they're going to have to fork over enough money to set the market. Do you believe that that's the kind of deal that he is going to end up agreeing to?
I think he will. He and Devin Witherspoon with the Seahawks are in similar situations. They have the same agent. They're both pursuing contracts. I would imagine that both of them are going to outstrip the best corners right now who are making the highest amount of money, and it being May, it's escaping me. It's not Derek Stingley. Is it who's the dude who just went from Trent McDuffie?
McDuffie,
has the highest deal. So I would imagine that Gonzalez is going to be 33, 34 at least, and I've heard Albert Breer a number of times talk about, I'm going to do my Albert impression. I love Albert. I don't know. Christian might want to be in a situation where and you know what Elliot might say? He always uses the first name, the guys. Elliot's going to say, and then Mike might say. But I think when you look at, he might try and be not just paid as the best corner. Albert has intimated that Gonzalez might want to be paid as one of the better defenders, like an edge guy would be, or a wide receiver might be.
Wow.
And
it just seems so tough with this team, doesn't it? With the Patriots, it just seems any other team, it almost seems like it's going to happen. But with the Patriots, this is just, it doesn't happen.
I don't know why. I mean, they've had the highest paid guy at any number of positions over the course of time.
I just don't. I don't know. Is it because it's just
they did. I mean, whether it was Logan Mankins or Vince Wilfork or Gronk was the highest paid for a while, and then he wasn't because he signed a contract that wasn't very smart for him. They'll get it done. What the hard part is the $70 million per year that is coming down the pike for Drake May.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about that because Ted blew my mind yesterday because we were trying to predict how much that contract's going to be worth. Because it's all relative. If you're going to have A.J. Brown and you're going to have Christian Gonzalez making the amount of money that he is, and then the kind of cash that's going to be coming Drake May's way, the Patriots are going to be on the hook for a lot of money. So we were trying to figure out just how big this Drake May contract is. And before I tell you what Ted said, I want to know what you think it's going to be.
I would bet at least $600 million.
Okay, how much guaranteed?
I would have to look at what Mahomes' contract was. And
The highest now is Josh Allen at $250 million.
Probably about $280 million when it gets done. And here's the thing about A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown will be here this year, and he'll be here next year. And then he'll be gone, and then they'll pay Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to make – Brown will make $50 million over 2 years, and then the Patriots will push away from the table, and then May will get his money. So it'll be – I don't think it'll interfere, so to speak.
Ted thinks that the guaranteed money will be what?
I said 400.
It's not 400 crazy. Million. It's not. If he has a seven, like, what's the percentage of the 280? What is the overall value of
330? I think 250 of the 330. Yeah.
Oh crap!
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the way you do it. You have it a lower. So maybe it's a $600 million contract. I don't know. He's younger.
65 million a year for 10 years is 650. So I was thinking the Mahomes, like, you know, you spread it out over 10 years. So, you know, $65 million per year for 10 years, $650 million, and I don't know, $400 million to for signing bonuses. I mean,
carry the one.
Yeah, there you go. They're gonna have to pay though. They're gonna have to pay. It's gonna be fascinating.
How did you see Drake at all on the field today, Tom? And was there any Dobbs magic? Any Romeo Dobbs, Drake May magic on day one?
No. And it's funny because I was listening to our friend Alex Turkish Barth on the sister station, or the rival station earlier.
Brand
X. Like, it looks good. Well, at least you have a differing opinion. Phil and I were watching it, and it was not what I would call a remarkable practice for Drake May. First 11-on-11 was fine. Second 11-on-11 was choppy. There was a missed communication between Campbell and the fella next to him, an Eastern European name, wasn't supposed to be there. Something Croatian. And as a result, Elijah Ponder got up into May's face, and May threw a pick. So that was not good. There was a Hunter Henry behind him throw that could have been picked. There was a Lane Larison miss. It just wasn't a great OTA, but it's an OTA. But it didn't look that great overall.
I mean, you put on too much muscle.
I was right. It's going to be a tough year. We're not going to make the playoffs. It's going to be playoffs.
I love what Ted's saying. Like, Ted's scaring me, but he's making too much sense. He thinks this is a borderline playoff team this year, Tommy Curran.
I do too. I think it's a 10-win team.
There we go. Cool. And Tom agreed with me that, you know, the roster is an average roster. I mean, obviously there's positions that are above average, but overall, and it's, to me, that's a much improved roster from where it was last year.
I know.
Right?
100%. It's improved. It's safety. Even though you had Jalen Hawkins and he was good, you've improved there. I don't think linebacker is great. I don't think you improved the defensive line. The edge should be better. Running back should be better. Wide receiver will be a lot better. Tight end, you know, there's not a lot of – offensive line should be significantly better if everything comes up the way you hope. Which is the biggest key.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tom, but you and I are big tight end guys. I'm curious because I saw some of the highlights of their third rounder from Notre Dame, and I kind of get excited. I mean, are you? What do you think? What do you see in this kid?
Every time he came on the field, I'm like, Phil, Raritan's on, and again, it's OTA, so he caught one little 8-yard out, so there was nothing. It really, but he moves well. Dobbs moves well. The funny thing about Dobbs, and Phil and I both noted this, after every play, he was very slow to wander around to the sideline and stuff. He always looks like he's dealing with something, but that's just how he moves. Diggs was like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah.
And the other last observation I'll give you. That wide receiver room absolutely needs A.J. Brown and or Mac Hollins to rejoin them because it looked like a pack of high school juniors out there. They're all about 5'8 to 5'9. Dobbs is actually kind of tall compared to them, but you got Efton Chisholm and Kyle Williams and Pop Douglas, and we all power over them. So they could definitely use an A.J. Brown.
Tommy, we were just talking about the what's going to be given up for A.J. Brown, and the speculation is that it's going to be a first-round pick. Are you hearing the same thing, like a 2028 first-round pick? Is that kind of what's going around?
Just the same thing as you guys all are, and I kind of defer to on this national stuff that involves longstanding GMs. You know, the days of the local guys getting it are long gone. So they funnel everything through Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, and they just give the people with the biggest bugle the chance to horn it out. So those guys, and when Adam Schefter says as bluntly and with as much adamance, is that a word, as adamantly as he did last week, it's going to be a 2028 first rounder, I say, all right, well, I guess that's what it's going to be.
Okay,
I don't have a problem with it either.
We were talking about that, and it's like it does seem like they're bidding against themselves. And I know that if you're doing that, you probably wouldn't need to give that up. But then we were imagining a scenario, and tell me if you think this is realistic, where the two teams could meet up and say, listen, we're going to give you a first-round pick, a 2028 first-round pick, and we know that that's a lot. And we will give that to you as long as we don't have any kind of fear that someone's going to swoop in and take this guy. Let's just agree early. Let's agree now in principle and make it happen. Do you see something like that potentially being the agreement that they've been having these past couple months?
I do envision that the two could have a wink and a nod deal in place, but I don't think that that deal looks good if you're from the Eagles side. Jalen Waddle went from the Miami Dolphins to the Denver Broncos for a first-round pick this past year and a third-round pick. Mm. Jalen Waddle is not as good as A.J. Brown. He might be more sturdy in the long term, but he's not as good a player. So if you're Howie Roseman and you're getting back ostensibly a second-round pick, which is how they generally view it, for a player of A.J. Brown's ability, the Patriots aren't getting hosed. The Patriots are getting away pretty good, in my estimation. And your results may vary. Phil Perry, who I love, strongly disagrees that you should be giving up a first-round pick for A.J. Brown, regardless of the year, because that's how you make your team better. But I think that the espresso shot that A.J. Brown can be to the Patriots offense this year is worth it.
Real quick, Tommy, are you surprised Akis, the second-round pick, was a no-show today?
Yes, I was, until I texted Reese. I said, no Akis? He goes, could be an injury. Could be an injury guy. I'm like, oh, could be nursing an injury from the season, still working through something. Okay. So I was surprised. And then I got a nothing to see here text from Reese when I was like, Akis?
real quick before they go, what are your impressions of Lomu? He looks
I
the
thought
part,
he looked
right?
athletic. I thought he looked athletic. He's certainly big. I thought he looked athletic, and it's non-contact. He was on the right side. He split time with Morgan Moses, got in there with the ones. I like the way he looked, and again, they're hitting each other a little bit, just kind of get to each other and shove each other. But I like the way he moved. So that's fun. But he moved okay. So I like the way that looked.
So Tommy Curran, what's your opinion of reporters who ask questions that are two-part questions, one being a tough part and the other one being an easy, you can answer that question instead and get out of having to answer the tough question?
We all wander into that as questioners at times. We all do. My questions would oftentimes. See, with Bill, because Bill was the way Bill was, you had to use every qualifier in the question. I understand you just came off the field, and I know that you don't like to compare people. Right. And I know that it's a situation where you might not like to do this, but how did Tom Brady look? Good. Yeah. So you get – it's. I'm not the guy to ask about questions because mine can be absurdly long-winded.
Yeah, we got one of those today. And I know sometimes it can, you know, people can get nervous. It's human nature. But today there was a question that was like, hey, can you talk about how, like, whether you regret missing the third day of the draft? And, hey, how's Caleb Lomu? It's like,
you
why
guys
would
you choke on your own vomit if you were sitting down there? I love it.
Rich is a pit bull.
I'm a rabble rouser. I don't know if you've heard. I get in there
you
and
know
I shake
John
the tree.
Dennis.
That's right. I'm no John Dennis.
I love it. I love his question. Well, very well.
All right, Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Great stuff.
Thanks,
it was. It's interesting. I'm glad that Vrabel spoke today, but I'm with Ted 100%. It seems like he's got to get his swagger back. He seems a little less confident, a little bit nervous.
A smidge.
And I think it just winning is what's going to fix that. Not playing. I think winning is what's going to fix that, and hopefully we'll get the old Vrabel back after the beginning of the season. That would be nice.
Honestly, what the hell? Let's just continue to beat a dead horse. I'll stay on.
Sure, let's do it. Why the hell not? That's what we do.
I think it's reps. It's just being standing at the podium, answering questions. It didn't go too bad. I dealt with it pretty good.
Yep.
F those guys. And then he'll be back to himself.
You're right.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, Tommy Curran. Great stuff. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you again real soon, all right?
See you guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay. I just learned about something that Ted Johnson right here put my attention to.
No, this is a fake one. Stiz and Jackson.
Are you serious?
Texting me that
you got fleeced again, Teddy.
You got catfished here, buddy.
Hang on. Is this all AI?
AI generated.
Okay, because there was this amazing world, back and forth with Deion Sanders, apparently, and his girlfriend. That there's videos that look just like Deion Sanders saying, so you know what? I want to play it anyway.
What? Come on.
Knowing that it's fake. Hang on, what is it? What are you holding up?
The guy has a sign that says, imagine being dumb enough to think this is real after the whole.
So, Rich, the videos, what you see in, the quotes of those videos has nothing to do with the video that is being posted.
Once again, I didn't hear anything. I just saw, because there's no sound in here when they click on it. It has a quote, and it's got a video of him talking. And basically what it was Deion Sanders' girlfriend saying that she wants to get paid a certain amount of money because Deion Sanders can't satisfy her or something like that.
In reality, if you click the video, it's her talking about beauty products.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Talking about her makeup.
Why would I click the video?
Erection is what happens.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, there you go.
Oh, well.
Well, there was that break. That was going to be a good one, too.
Sox talk next.
We'll find something to talk about.
Sure. Sox talk and more Marconi Award-winning content right after this. It's 93.7. WEEI and Rich Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, broadcasting live from Fenway. It's a gorgeous night. One of these days, I'm going to stick around and actually go to the game. I always have something I have to do. It's we have this awesome thing. One of the perks of this job is that you get inside Fenway Park and you can stay inside Fenway Park.
Yeah.
And you guys have the super cool Wayne's World backstage passes. I don't have one of those yet.
Well, why not? How come?
It's just taking a while. It's I think it's truly.
And they still let you in?
Yeah, I'm on a list, but I do not have the thing with my face on it because it truly is like NORAD. It's super high security to get into this place.
I love that you had the first same reaction I did the first time I walked in here. It's like, so if I took these chips, nobody would say anything?
It's just you're running through and everything is at your disposal if you want to.
Nobody in here.
You can take a dump in any toilet that you want to. They're all wide open. There's hot dogs just for the taking everywhere.
I think when it's empty like this, you get a more of appreciation for the arena and the stadium.
It's true.
Of course.
It's true. And I make it, and I every time I come here, because we have to start off over by home plate. That's where our entrance is. But we broadcast in the outfield. And every time I walk to my seats, I walk into the loge boxes and I walk through the stands. And because it's just awesome. You feel like you're the only one alive. There's almost no one in there. Every once in a while I see a couple people taking a tour or they're watering the outfield. But sometimes you're just there by yourself and it's really freaking awesome. And then I always have to leave afterwards. I never go to any of the games, which I should do. Because I don't know.
Do you hold any hope they're going to come back and have a buzzing Fenway by the end of the summer? Is there any hope that I can cling to?
Give me a reason.
Roman and Crochet come back.
Yeah, that's true.
And they make a trade, according to reports over the weekend. Breslow was looking for a big bat. He's out there on big bat watch.
You think that's smart? You don't think they should just sell? Sell immediately.
Not immediately. I think at this point, you got to just ride it out. At the worst case, you wait until the trade deadline. And then if you're out of it by late July, yes, then you ship. But what's the point now? What else are you going to get back now?
They can't hit the dang ball in a stadium where you should be able to hit doubles and triples.
Three homers last night. Now it's flipped on its head. It's like now you can't pitch, you know.
It's head.
Did they win the game?
No, they did not. This is the only team in the majors who does not have double-digit wins at home, which is insane at Fenway Park. But either way, I don't know. I mean, will they turn it around? No, they won't. But if they just, even if Roman Anthony comes back, you know, according to everything we're hearing from Chad Tracy is that it might not be till after the All-Star game. Yeah. He's going to be sent down, which he probably should. And if that's the bat you're relying on, I mean, it wasn't fair in the first place that you had a kid, essentially a kid, who was going to carry this offense, and now he's got to carry this offense coming off of an injury.
And the schedule's rough. I mean, you guys pointed that out. You got the division teams coming up, Yankees, Rays.
I mean, these next 15 games could just bury them so that they don't have a chance in hell.
Chris Sale tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun.
Apparently, do you have this, by any chance, the audio of Jalen Hurts, Stiz? Because I'm seeing this right now. Jim Hurts was asked about A.J. Brown potentially being traded, and I guess it doesn't sound like it just doesn't sound like he wants to answer any of these questions.
Well, he wasn't invited to the wedding, right? I mean, it's
so that's weird. That's weird. So apparently A.J. Brown got married, and you know almost everyone else on the Eagles got invited except for the quarterback. that's weird.
What does that say more about? Right. Quarterback or the receiver?
Drake May should have been there. Just been like, start working on the relationship. Just been like,
on that. You want to hear that sound?
Yeah, you got it? Let's hear it.
If AJ is traded, how would that affect the offense? How would that affect you?
Pick the right question to sip on, huh?
I think AJ is going to love Drake May.
He is.
Love him.
He's going to love him.
Seriously, Jalen Hurts is... Look, he's a good quarterback, but he's nothing like Drake May.
No, and you get to write the story, too. Like, you get Drake May at the beginning of his story. Mm. You get to be a huge part of developing who is ultimately, hopefully, going to become, you know, one of the next great quarterbacks in this league.
Well, you want
that's
my,
exciting.
You want my bad Sox-Pats pivot comparison here?
Sure, let's go.
You get what you pay for. With the Red Sox, you had Bregman. You saw what an impact he made on the team and on the field. Then you went for the IKEA furniture with Caleb Durbin, and it broke, you know, after shipping. Same thing with the Patriots. You get A.J. Brown. You know what you're getting. You're getting a legit proven product, and it's going to make all the difference. And Ted talked about it, and so did Tommy Curran. What an impact he can make on the room and just the trickle-down effect. You need that guy.
It's
absolutely
true. Tim on line one. Tim, hey, thanks for hanging in there. We appreciate it. You got 30 seconds with Ted Johnson. Go ahead. Tim.
Hello, Tim.
We kept kept him waiting for like moment. 2 hours. I know he was saying he was saying he agrees with you, Ted, on AJ Brown. I want to know what he was about. He's like, let me talk to Ted.
Him being a deep threat, probably. You know, just the impact he'll have on the entire offense. It opens everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Helps Trevion Henderson get space and Ramondre get some space. I don't know, opens things up for tight ends. It's gonna be the thing was if people are trying to project the wide receiver room. And with Kayshon Boutte and A.J. Brown on the same team, I can't imagine because there's a redundancy there. A.J. does so much more than Kayshon. And I'm wondering if they were trying to trade Kayshon, what the teams would give the Patriots.
And would you give him to Kansas City or somebody in the division or, you know?
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
I feel like Boutte would go on some kind of revenge, especially if you gave him to Mahomes. Mahomes needs a deep threat. You said it yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
They've taken every Patriots scrap from Tyquan Thornton to, yeah.
Boy, they really have. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju, they made him useful in a Super Bowl. So I could see that. I would be afraid to trade him to Kansas City.
Well, we have Chad Tracy, your manager of the, or interim manager, rather. It's weird he's still an interim manager for the Boston Red Sox. And a lot of interesting things going on with the Red Sox right now. Let's get some answers on Roman Anthony. Also, we'll talk to him a little bit about how this team is hitting, but they're still not winning. What is behind all of that? Chad Tracy joins us next.